Oh my God, we're here.
I know. I know. It's wild too, because this is my first ever guest spot on a podcast. So
really?
Right. Yeah.
I thought you'd been on a few other ones besides Shatter Shield. From the Shatter Shield, we got Panda Never Sleeps.
Yes. Hello. Tis I.
That is his stage name.
Dave out follower of our Lord and Savior, Cocaine Jesus. Yes, tis yes. I have returned.
Oh my God. I lost track of how many skits you did with Cocaine Jesus. Oh, go ahead.
I actually just booted up like the very last episode of that just to re-listen to my little sketch that I did where I did like the whole follower of Cocaine Jesus sermon, and I was just like, oh my God. That is wild that I actually sat there and like I spent time writing that, and I was like, it's good. I enjoyed it.
Were you on drugs?
No. And that's the wild thing. Like, don't get me wrong. I've been offered drugs before. I'm not, I enjoy my alcohol thoroughly. I'll say that. but as for anything else, I'm good. I do like to make the jokes though. They are fun. And so I do dabble in that sort of way, but as for actual participation, not so much.
All good. Well, so we were just thinking just about a casual topic to bring up, and we were just like, yeah, let's just talk about the ever-changing lifestyle, history, and just kind of just a casual overview of video games and how the culture's gotten toxified, how it's expensive just to play and let off some steam for like 2 hours, and then at the same time, like, it never stops being fascinating even if you're not playing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild how the landscape of gaming has changed throughout the years, for sure. I mean, I actually even looked at like some old brochures and things, and I was just like, wow, N64 games were like $60. So we've been at the $60 price point for at least, I think, close to like 2 decades now, but now we're starting to move into like a $70 price point. And like, I get it. It's the rising cost of development and all that. Sure. Fine. Cool. It just, from the consumer end, right? There's this concern of like, a lot of us are not making the money that we should be to keep up with like the inflation of the economy. That's a whole other discussion that I'm not going to get into, because I'm far from well enough educated to like really go in depth about that. I just know that like all my friends are broke and we're all working full-time jobs and we're struggling, you know, and that's what I know. But
we never stop being broke, do we?
Eventually you'd like to, but like right now, good luck. But like, I am someone who really enjoys a lot of nostalgic gaming, and so there's a lot of like retro sort of stuff, or what I guess now to like up and coming gamers, as they're like dealing with like the Xbox Series X and the PS5 and the Switch, right? What would be considered like, these are the consoles that they're growing up with now, right? These younger generations. But for someone like me being like 31, right? My first console was a Super Nintendo. And even like having played games throughout my entire life, you know, I transitioned, I was very heavily a Nintendo kid growing up. So it was like Super Nintendo, N64, and GameCube. And then eventually we ended up getting a PS2, and then a 360, and that kind of expanded my horizons a little bit that way. But like, it's really interesting because as I go back and I try to like reclaim bits of like the nostalgia and my memories of childhood gaming and such, you start looking at the cost of it and it's insane sometimes.
Maddening in some ways, kind of, where you're just like, no,
I'm like, I understand why it's this much, but I also want to fucking scream. I was actually, earlier today, I went out to a local game store and participated in a Mario Kart Double Dash tournament where I tied for third, so I'm not mad. Although I did get absolutely wrecked by some horrible RNG that could have made the difference and put me in first, but we're not going to go into the details of that. It blue shells are awful. They lived up to their reputation today. But while I was waiting for the tournament to start, you know, this is a store that very much specializes in almost sort of the like collector's end of more retro gaming. So they have like complete inbox versions of like Ocarina of Time, Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, wow.
In like these plastic protective boxes and everything. They have a copy of Ocarina of Time inbox for, I think it's like almost $200. Which is wild, but like you sit there and you think about like, this is viewed even today still as one of the best games ever created. Like, yes, of course it's going to have that. It's got the collector status, you know, all that jazz. I mean, I was even looking at, they had a copy of GameCube, Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, which I do have a copy of, here at my place. And they were selling it for, I think it was like $134. I was like, oh my God, that's insane to think that, you know, just these little pieces of like history, both in terms of like games as a storytelling and entertainment media, right, have such high value attributed to them, even though in essence they are just sort of replicas just thrown out into a market. It's wild to think about the connotations of it all, I suppose, is what I'm trying to get at.
It is funny how it always got blended in with jealousy, like, this system's better, or it's going to be better than the last one. And you're like, what are you trying to prove? Do you
the console wars? Yeah, everybody's.
I swear you see more graphics. Well, if you love playing the game, you really don't care all that much about the graphics. You really don't.
Everybody.
Because they're going to look like shit 5 years from now anyway. So what is the point?
Yeah, I mean, you do raise a arguably solid point there. Yeah, I mean, eventually the graphics are not going to be as good. And like, they're cool now, they're gonna suck later, cool, fine,
it's
whatever.
Crazy expensive, so it's just like, shut up.
Yeah, I remember when the PS3 debuted, and that thing was $600, which is like the most expensive I think I've ever seen a game console release at. Even the PS5 is, I think, only $500, so... Which is kind of wild to think about. But yeah, all my life, because again, primarily I was a console gamer who was pretty primarily aligned with like the Nintendo side of things. You always had the so-called console wars thing going on, which is like, oh, my console's better than your console, and this company does this better. It's just like, oh my God, shut the fuck up. They all play games. Are you having fun? Shut the fuck up then. Play your fucking game, please.
I don't get
it. But like, even as semantic as it seems over these last couple of years, I do feel like there's more legitimacy to the console wars argument.
In a way.
Than there previously was.
I mean, you can make a point about anything. It's just, for the most part, you would get it bottled up with snobby McSnob snob, snob snob snob.
Yeah, I mean, egos were always at the head of any one of those arguments, generally speaking.
Kind of bled in, kind of like with rap wars. Oh, so-and-so, he's more awesome. Or wrestling. And you see it now in politics, too. But I mean, sports especially, is like, Yeah, you will see people ball on each other, even though they know damn well the other person has zero interest in the other team winning. And it's like, well, why are you wasting your time?
Yeah, I mean, everybody if he and doesn't everything care, that I'm has gonna fans is going to have those people that are just like absolute diehards. And they just want to prove how diehard they are about something for no discernible reason. But lately, when I've been looking at the sort of like arguments for like the console war, I'm looking at things like the yearly press events that like Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo do, you know, and what the machines are capable of as, you know, the consoles and such. And I mean, it's hard to look at the console wars argument now and say that there's not a legitimate point being said in who is better. I think my major point right now is that, like, so Sony's always been like the leader in graphics, right? They've always been really pushing what a console can do graphically. They've also, generally speaking, always had a fairly solid game library. They have really good IPs that they can work with whenever they want. Even if they want to bring back classics like Crash, Spyro, you know, for I'm losing my fucking mind here. They have solid IPs that they can go to, right?
Yeah.
Tried and true things. Then you have Nintendo. Nintendo's fan base almost entirely consists of people who are just so infatuated with their core IPs, Pokemon, Zelda, Metroid, you know, things like
that. I've noticed that too. And isn't it wild how they'll sometimes kind of like RPG guys talk to you in character and it's like, no. You can't get away with doing insults or whatever. You're talking to me right here, right now, dude.
Yeah, it's wild. But
and then if there's like an update that fails, they will who knows how many people they'll curse in the tech department. Oh my god, you wronged me.
It reminds me of
a bitter aunt I used to have who would basically shame someone if her pizza was late or something. It's like, no. It, don't take this out on them. No one went out of their way to disrupt your life.
Yeah. I mean, it's generally speaking, not things done, I think, on purpose. But, I mean, and then, so kind of circling back to the console thing, the thing I'm seeing right now is Microsoft scrambling to remain relevant in the console game, because what IPs do they have at this point that are like truly theirs? A lot of things that they have are shared. You know, Call of Duty is both PlayStation and Xbox, you know. I know there's more examples. I'm just blanking really hard right now.
Oh, well, and then don't get us started on. Then you even see people bitching about, oh, I do, you know, handheld like Game Boy versus I only do PC, you know, computer gaming like Steamed or whatever. And it reminds me very much of kind of the digital versus physical media. It's like, oh, watch it however you're going to watch it. Don't take your anger out on people because they're not like you. It's gatekeeping.
I'm very much for the argument of like, hey, watch what you want to watch, how you want to watch it, enjoy media how you want.
Don't be the douche, you know, farting in the backseat, telling people you gotta, you know, watch this movie this way or you're not a fan or some shit, you know.
Absolutely. I personally have, since I have that sort of nostalgia and such, I've really been very adamant about physical media for my games.
Lovely.
Because there's also a very persistent lack of backwards compatibility that doesn't try to nickel and dime you every which fucking way. For example, the Nintendo Switch Online or whatever it's called, they have like apps on the Switch that let you play like N64 or Game Boy Advance or Game Boy games, Super Nintendo, that sort of thing. But it's a subscription.
Bingo.
And it's just like, okay, that's cool that you've made these things available for me on my console, but I don't want all of this. I just want a few things, and I want to know that I can play them without having to pay this yearly thing. Bingo. Like, I hate that. Hate that. Why do we have to be so money hungry that literally everything is just, how can we nickel and dime people? How can we bleed people's wallets the most effectively?
Yeah.
It's absolutely one of the most frustrating things that's going on in the, not even just the gaming market right now, but in the world.
Mm-hmm. So, and it never stopping. You're just like,
okay, yeah. But I'm hoping, because Baldur's Gate just came out, and people are loving Baldur's Gate. And one of the things people are loving the most about it is that it's a complete game. It's $60. Mm. There's no DLC. There's no, like, oh, hey, like, buy this additional map for $5. Oh, hey, here's a cosmetic. Here's some loot boxes. Like, no, it, you, $60. Here's your game. Enjoy. Yes. Thank you. Can we, like, actually just return to form and just make games, give people complete games, and let them have a good experience without trying to capitalize on unfinished products? Like, I get so tired of seeing companies push games that are clearly not ready for launch. Bethesda's really bad about this. Oh my god, Bethesda's horrible about it. What was it? The Fallout 76 was an absolute disaster when it launched. Absolutely buggy, damn near unplayable mess. Then they also, I think in this last year or two, released a game called Redfall, which was also just abysmally buggy,
making you wonder who's getting paid to do what.
Yeah,
but again, you're not taking this out on them. You're just like, I'll be here when you guys are ready to get your shit together, you know? Just like,
well, it's one of the reasons, well, there's a few reasons why I don't really fuck with Bethesda as a company, and that sort of idea that they can just put whatever they want out and people will pay for it because it has Bethesda's name attached to it is one of the things I hate the most.
It's kind of like porn. They're catering to the lowest common denominator.
Well, it's like Apple. It's kind of like Apple. You're paying more for the name than you are anything they're actually doing.
Yeah. I'm pretty much to that point where I'm like, much like with anything by Samsung, you use the product until you can't use it anymore. And keep in mind that the updates are also kind of part of the problem.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't realize. They're like, oh, you got to update. I'm like, that's part of their mentality, so you pay more overtime.
Yeah.
Because you basically have fucked with the product. You made it unusable.
But yeah, I mean, like, now it's weird to see, because, like, again, having been around in the gaming landscape for as long as I have,
seeing how they act, seeing how they program it.
Well, because, again, I don't really necessarily, like, have knowledge about, like, the programming aspects. But, like, you can tell when a game is made poorly, right?
Mm-hmm. Buggy AI.
Character models not doing what they're supposed to do, just things like that. But then you also can see, like, where it's more of an issue of just the company as a whole itself. Right? Like, we've seen Blizzard go from a company that was absolutely beloved by everyone back in the days of, like, StarCraft and Warcraft 2 and 3, Diablo 2, you know, yep. They could do no wrong back in those days. Even into like World of Warcraft, when they really were settling into that, pumping out expansions, you know, every like year or two or something like that, which I never really got involved with the game. I have friends who dedicated their lives to it, but like,
it can be a time suck at times.
Yeah, I mean, like, people seem to really enjoy it, right? I didn't hear people like complaining about like, oh my god, why is Blizzard doing this horrible thing, up until like these last few years, where, you know, they released Overwatch 2 as a sort of way to potentially introduce PvE into the game formula, which is what people had been wanting for a long time, only to then eventually cancel PvE. Then when everybody was in an uproar about the cancellation of the PvE elements, they're just like, oh, haha, just kidding, we're definitely still doing that, I promise, please don't hate us.
We'll return after these messages.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
Blizzard has essentially driven their own reputation into the ground.
Bad as Activision and all those other guys where they...
Well, they're owned by Activision, or they're merged with. Yeah, and that's kind of where like it went south.
Kind of like when a movie studio has a feud and they do the whole, hey, watch our movie anyway, even though it's whitewashed and pissed you off and made a tabloid. No, it's dead in the water, dude. Do better.
It's like, can we just do good things? Can we please just make good games? And like, so many companies, I think, really just look at games as a way to generate revenue. And I hate that personally, because I view games so much as a wonderful form of interactive media and storytelling. But when you have people who only see the side of how can we profit from this, it just really destroys the creative elements of it from the inside, and it shows.
Not to mention how they'll often, I mean, it's wild how they're merging with Microsoft, because Microsoft is like so infamous, especially on Skype, at just answering emails and complaints. It just gets to that point where you're just like, yeah, no, this doesn't work, fix it now, stop giving excuses. I do this with Podbean when making a podcast. That they will go to town just saying, we've done everything on our end. I'm like, clearly not.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that's going on with like Microsoft, Activision, Blizzard, and more than that, even honestly, is that Microsoft is currently, or at least was, I don't know if it's still ongoing, because I haven't kept up too much with it, but Microsoft has essentially tried to buy up as many game studios as they can in an effort to strengthen their pool of developers and such, So that way, because one of the things, one of my biggest complaints, and this is something I was going to bring up with sort of console wars sort of ideology, is that Microsoft struggles in terms of its game library. If you were to talk about the game libraries of either Sony or Nintendo, you could list off 5 to 10 games probably off the top of your head that are iconic to either side. What things can you genuinely attribute to Microsoft as being up to the same caliber as that? Because I can only think of like maybe 3 things, which is Halo, Gears of War, and Titanfall. Which are the 3 things I hear so often. Yeah.
Not to mention just seeing just nonstop just anticipation and corporate media saying, hey, this is going to be great. And then that does them no favors because you're just like, you're lying liars.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be overhype in any sort of industry where excitement for something is the driving factor for profit, right? I mean, it's how you sell movies, it's how you sell concert tickets, it's how you sell games. You have to get people excited about something or they're not going to care. And the only thing worse than something being bad is something being mediocre. That's something I've said on the Shattered Shield before. Because if something is bad, right, that is still something to talk about. But if something is so mediocre to the point where it's not even worth talking about, then it ends up being lost to obscurity forever. And that's it. That's your legacy. Your legacy is nothing. So,
and it gets to that point where you're just like, I have given you more of my time than this deserves.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like this, the people who made this game clearly made it and they didn't have their heart in it. Why would I ever want to keep this in the back of my head as like a thing that I care about? I don't. They didn't care when they made it. I don't care to play it. We're done.
No kidding. And it eats you up after a while because you're like, wow, what do I value more, time or money? Either way, I can't get it back.
Yeah. But then it's wild too, because like you see every once in a while like a game that has potential, and it's not even that it's badly made, it was maybe just poorly executed and it didn't have the hype behind it that maybe it should have. And it's just like, damn, this game really should have gotten like more attention. It should have like done really well. But nobody even knows that this thing exists. Like, it's a great example of what I'm talking about. I'll give you 2. First one is a old RTS game called Sacrifice, released in 2000 for the PC. It's very unique in that it is an RTS that, one, is not done in a sci-fi setting. The only other RTSs that I can think of that aren't done in like a sci-fi setting are, if you want to count Pikmin, I feel like Overlord, which was a game for the 360, I want to say, but I'm not 100% sure because I've never played that. I know I'm missing. Oh, Warcraft. Yeah, Warcraft. Those are like all the only ones I can think of that aren't necessarily done in like a sci-fi setting, because sci-fi setting you had StarCraft and Command and Conquer and all these other things and blah blah blah, so it was kind of unique in that. But it was also really interesting because most RTSs that you'll ever play are done from like an omniscient third person view, which is like a sort of a bird's eye view of like the battlefield and whatever, right? This was done with a sort of over the shoulder kind of camera view. Think of like maybe Jack and Daxter, right?
Mm.
You still summoned and created units. You still had resource management in the form of souls and mana. Souls were how you managed creature creation. Mana was how you would use your different spells to, you know, either attack, you know, help defend, create a structure, you know, whatever. Which were, there really wasn't even that many structures. But it had a lot of really unique creatures. Had a fantastic, absolutely fucking fantastic all-star cast of voice actors. It was, most notably, you had Brad Garrett. Yep. And you had Tim Curry.
Yeah, I miss those too, especially now that they're finally embracing it more. It's kind of become like Avatar, where they use motion capture. I mean, I still look forward to seeing what a new Call of Duty game looks like, regardless of whether I play it or not, because it's clear that the talent is there, and yet the distributor is just being a prick.
I mean, yeah.
Not respecting.
I mean, you're always going to have like issues with like publishers wanting certain things.
It's really not too different from Universal. That there was an infamous article, and they tried covering it up unsuccessfully, where they basically just acted like, oh, no one thinks sci-fi can be good. And then lo and behold, they got hit shows on their network like Stargate and Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, yeah.
The fans were outraged because they were being belittled in that statement. And it was like, well, what? How did we even get here? Like, HBO would kind of do that once in a while, where they would be like, we don't really like our programming. And it's like, oh, own it, dude. Own it. Own it.
Yeah.
Why even say that? If own it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to think. Oh, and the other thing that game had, which is, I think, is one of the earliest examples I could think of for this, is branching and alternate stories.
Yes, side quests and just other stuff that you can do, but there's no hurry to do either.
Well, it wasn't so much a side quest thing. It was, no matter what, it was always, I think, 9 missions in the game. But in the early game, so how it works is like there are 5 gods that your character can choose to align themselves with.
Mm.
I think it's after like 4 missions, depending on who you've aligned yourself with for those first few missions, you start to lose options. And then as you progress even further, you start to eliminate gods from the game pantheon over, that you could choose from, until you eventually get to the end. And depending on how you align yourself throughout the game, you'll take on certain missions versus other things. And it's just really good. Sacrifice absolutely deserves more attention than it's gotten. And it's tragic that I haven't seen like a remake of that.
You're right.
But Interplay hasn't really done much of anything, in a long time. I remember seeing an article some years ago about how, like, I think their entire IP catalog was up for sale. And if I had the money, oh my God, I would immediately throw down for Sacrifice. We're also, since we're on the topic of like game remakes and such, it's kind of wild to see how many remakes and things are coming out. For the last few years, we've been getting steady remakes of like the Resident Evil series. Nintendo just announced a remake of Paper Mario 1000 Year Door. There's just remakes everywhere here and there, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
A lot to keep up with, but yeah, it's not bad. It's just...
Yeah. I will say that I don't think The Last of Us needed another remake or remaster. considering, like, I think it was just a couple years before they had just re-released it with, like, slightly better graphics. I'm like, stop. This is just a blatant cash grab. At least, like, every time that they re-released Resident Evil 4, because they kind of suffered from the same syndrome, Resident Evil 4 was almost just a straight port, which was kind of nice. It was just like, it wasn't trying to be something it wasn't, which I guess I say that, but it's not like Last of Us was also trying to do that. It's I don't know. I think the point I'm eventually trying to get here is that Capcom needs to remake Dead Rising.
Couldn't hurt. Could be worse than anything else. Yeah.
I love that game with my entire heart. The first Dead Rising is phenomenal. Only thing I would change about that is some of the first person controls when you're trying to use a gun in that game. Maybe take some of the campiness out of the story. Not all of it, because that is part of what makes Dead Rising so good. But that's about it. Like, that game is really solid.
They're so rare, because there's so many other games where you look at and you're like, yeah.
Yeah, as you start to look back on, like, some of the games, you're just like, this is not as good as I remember. But every time I play the original Dead Rising, the AI. That AI for the survivors needs to be fixed. Oh god, it's so bad in the original game. They improved it some in Dead Rising 2, but it's not that much better.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Just like, hello, I am a survivor. Watch me go hug the zombie. The fuck?
What? Yeah. It's not gonna work out.
But yeah, was there I've been rambling for a hot minute now.
I think my main issue is, how do we detoxify the gamers? Because you just seem to always just encounter ones who are... It goes back to bullying. The first sign of bullying is often insecurity.
And sure.
How do we get them to just kind of realize, hey, you know, no one's attacking you. But we're feeling attacked by you guys.
I think it's just something that's going to come with time, and I don't think you're ever going to necessarily get rid of it completely. I think it, to a point, comes with anything that sort of has an air of competition to it. You really saw, like, some of the worst of it back in the days of, like, Xbox Live. That was wild times. Absolutely, truly wild times, because that was when online play was first getting introduced, you know, to consoles, and it was a brand new world to them. Cue Aladdin and the flying carpet.
Seems like these are systematic issues. Like, in a way, they don't really want them to be fixed.
I don't want to necessarily say that companies don't want them to be fixed. Because, like, it's an easy fix to a point, right? Because look at what Nintendo has done. Nintendo has made it such a pain in the ass to do anything with voice chat that it's just better not to deal with it as a whole, right? And that's one way to solve it, is just put enough obstacles in the way of something to where it's just so much less of a hassle to not engage with it, right? You could do that. I think that sucks. I think it's awful. I think if you are trying to build a presence for a game that runs online, that why would you hinder yourself like that? I really just genuinely believe that, like, there's always going to be some level of toxicity in everything.
No, it's good to know, because, you know, it just seemed like for a while everybody was just complaining, and it's like, well, what would you do differently?
You can't do it differently.
I think the bigger issue right now with the way that things are so toxic is that everybody feels like they need to be the best in all the games they play.
Yes.
It's this weird sort of idea that if you're not like professional grade at a game you play, then you are the absolute worst. You are not worthy of playing the game. And I think nowhere is that more exemplified than in League of Legends, which I did used to play. And even coming from a background of like very heavy like Xbox Live use, right, where you would get called some of the most heinous things you've ever thought of. Many other things that you couldn't
sometimes
dream
by an 8-year old.
it's absolutely
like,
it was,
where are your
the
parents?
Wild west of console gaming was Xbox Live, genuinely. Ugh. And then you hop on like League later on in life and you're just like, oh my god, this is actually insane. You know, you make a slight hiccup and people are literally telling you to kill yourself.
Yeah,
it is the most insane thing on the planet. And I'm just
right,
like,
get raped, get assaulted. And it's like, oh my god, dude,
why are you like this? Like,
I don't think they know half the time because they're either imitating the prick next to them or they're like you say.
Yeah, I genuinely think people don't actually know better. I think there's a lot of it that comes from like just genuinely this age of shock content on the internet. A lot
Definitely.
Of it was like in the like late and mid 2000s and onward, like the sort
we
of
we were
like,
all laughing at homophobic jokes or other remarks where we were like, whoa,
sure, yeah,
someone got hurt, like, oh my god.
Yeah, again, even that was like kind of the wild west of the internet days. You know, YouTube was just becoming a thing and like people didn't really know like how powerful that would be. And I think a lot of it is just people didn't know how to handle all of this new information that was coming at them all at the same time and all of these massive waves. So everybody just kind of adjusted or tuned out entirely. And unfortunately, because of that, we've gotten some wild things. But I think genuinely the biggest thing in terms of gaming is that we really need to pull ourselves back from this idea of I have to be the best at all of the things that I'm doing. And anyone who can't keep up with me is lesser than. And if I'm not better than everyone else around me, then I'm lesser than. It's just this horrible ideology. Play the game because it's fun, not because...
It goes back to sports ideology. Is that I must be the best. I must kick everyone else. I must wipe the floor. And it's like, well, who are you trying to do this to? Are you trying to get laid? What?
That's
not
the
even
thing.
For that.
Here's the thing, right? For the people who are getting paid to do that, yes, that makes sense. I understand that, like, you're getting annoyed if you're not winning matches, if your livelihood literally depends on you winning. I understand. But Tom in his basement playing his fifth match of League Ranked today and losing three of his five matches, homie, you're not doing anything with that. Breathe. Enjoy the game. Like, if you're not enjoying the game, then maybe stop playing it. Like,
yeah,
it is not
stop
the end of the fucking world.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Like, I hate it. I don't want to say esports killed fun in video games, but like, kind of did.
Mm-hmm. And it just kind of keeps going on and on to where I think what this chat has illustrated is there's not really an answer for it, even though we want there to be an answer. And it's like, well, what do we do?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, I don't know, if you're in like an elderly care facility and you don't have the funding and you don't have people who really want to help them get better. There's a lot of everything, really, and it kind of gets to that point where I'm just like, hey, you know, like, we're going to be here at the same place we were when we started here if we keep just not, like, addressing the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to repeat history, so why let it keep happening?
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. But yeah, was there anything else you wanted to touch on?
Predictions, I guess, like on not necessarily what's going to be a bigger area, but more just like, what do you think is going to be kind of become just kind of more of a trend, if you will?
I'm really excited to see where VR technology goes in gaming. There's a steady climb into that becoming a more like viable thing. I struggle with VR gaming because I do get motion sick from it. I can play Beat Saber without much issue, but I tried playing Minecraft VR for like 5 minutes and almost threw up. It was a wild experience.
Oh, I bet.
But it's even funnier because like I don't get like seasick or like have an issue on like boats or anything. But you know, like on the playgrounds and things where they have like the tire swings that spin and that sort of thing. Oh god, those do horrible things to me. So I'm just like, if it spins, I'm not getting on it.
I feel like half the time all our stuff that we're talking about is more often than not it tends to be kind of just go on the swing set, go on the playground.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I see that more often than not with people watching movies. They'll complain, hey, I'm just trying to put something on and not have to entertain my kid until it's time to make dinner. So I feel like a lot of people are mixing in their spoiledness with, I don't know, it's just kind of the equivalent of people going to an event but really not wanting to be there. And it's like, well, no one forced you here, but they feel like they had to be there. They were guilted. And it's like, no, 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 no. Stop. No one has to be blamed for anything. No one has to be damaged. No one has to be hurt. I mean, almost all these fitness and health gurus are pretty much just saying, if you don't want to do it, then don't do it. Value your time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And
I pretty much will sometimes even have to stamp my feet down if my brother wants to put on certain music or my sister's insisting I go see this movie. It's like, I just say, no, no means no. I've carefully thought this out. I can live with this. You have to live with this. And again, I mean, I'm learning a cool trait now. I do therapy once a month just because it's good to set some life goals with BetterHelp.
Yeah, sure.
But the one thing I like is there's assertive communication where you validate the other person and while validating yourself. So instead of saying, no, I told you before, I can't make that wedding, or I don't want to care for your dog this week, it's like, okay, how about I help you out next week? Because as I said before, this weekend is bad. Boom. Or, hey, I know you're really feeling it here, but I'm not. So maybe how about we meet each other halfway? How about we find another thing we're both tempted to see, you know, instead of just elongating it? Or because most of the time it would kind of be an argument or a conversation or dispute like this would turn into just someone got hurt. Like I shouted the other guy down and we went to this. And one of us was still wanted our time back or went there just so the other guy would shut up. It shouldn't be that way. It should be, well, I'm not feeling it, man. How about we try this? You know, I want to be there for you. And it's almost kind of like when you see schools that are in disputes, you know, who's at fault? The teacher who's not being creative with their teaching skills, or the students just refusing to make a tolerable learning environment, you know? And it's good of both. Both got to go the extra mile. You know, we've all had that bitchy teacher. And then we've had a lot of shenanigans by guys who aren't even doing pranks. They're just being killjoys. And it's like, dude, we're all here to learn. You're not, but
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I feel like games could be that way too, because there's plenty of guys. Have you ever met any gaming programmers? I wouldn't be surprised if some of them don't even game anymore just because they live it.
To my knowledge, I have not.
Kind of like entertainment professionals.
Yeah. But I mean, there's a chance I have, and they just haven't mentioned it too. So who fucking knows? I will go ahead and make a couple more, I guess, prediction things, I guess, real quick.
No, that's fine. Like I said, this is just a laid back kind of casual chat. But I mean, what I've always liked when you've done the TV recap is you're predicting what you've forgotten versus what you haven't seen. And that sort of predictioning is kind of gone now, too. I see it often only in the form of clickbait. And it's like, oh, okay, whoa.
Yeah.
It used to be legit. And now you're marketing this to, the lowest common denominator. And what's funny is snobs who know it's bullshit will go on there, too, just to bitch. And it's like, I can't stand that. That is back to where stage one of unpleasantries, or just, you know, conversations that didn't even need to be initiated. Because, I mean, the Young Turks joke about this when they're talking about a congressional session. And you're like, yeah, and they went and did their usual kabuki theater. And I'm like, oh, so nothing got done. And I feel like a lot of these gaming development stations are just as bad as movie stations, where they're heavy-handed, you know, guys with their pockets lined, and they don't really have any investment in this. It kind of reminds me of the whole George Lucas line where he said producers are not filmmakers. I'm like, interesting, because there are some who, you know, like Ron Howard, Spielberg, and Scorsese, who have tried producing stuff just to help the little guy out, or just because it was easier to negotiate that way.
Sure, yeah.
And it's just interesting because there are some people who have produced all their life and had a good track record, but then you see other people with lousy statements. You're like, I don't even watch my shit. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of that, how much would you say is someone is too close to their material versus someone's just being a turd?
I feel like
we talked about most of these clowns, but I don't really.
I feel like in terms of gaming, like, it's kind of hard for someone to be too close to the material, because there's so much that happens behind the scenes there, especially on like the writing side. And then you have like, well, you know, we have these puzzles here and all this. There's a lot that more that goes into that sort of thing, because gaming is an interactive media.
Yep.
Though, if you want me to comment on who I think gets in the way of themselves more than they actually help themselves,
more
in
terms often of like, than not, yeah.
I think that's a pretty easy list. Bethesda is on that list for sure. Right now, I would argue Game Freak / the Pokemon Company.
Mm.
They are coasting on long-term success than actual quality.
Rather than getting it done, just more just kind of talking shit in the background.
Yeah. If you look at Pokemon Arceus and Pokemon Violet, Scarlet and Violet, they are both graphically just not unpleasant. Just you could easily imagine these games running on a PS2.
Right? Oh my god, there's so many where I'm like, where'd the budget go? It's kind of like when I see a movie and I'm like, yeah, this went to the stars and the director's flat rate, because nothing happened here.
Yeah, and you know, at first a lot of people were blaming, you know, how these games were running, because Scarlet Violet was also a very buggy mess. I don't know if that's been fixed through patches or anything.
Well, that's just it. We can't even keep up half the time because it just goes so fast. I mean, here we are already at a PS5, but how many people are caught up, you know, and still playing their PS4. You know, I still have a PS free, you know.
Yeah.
How do I catch up?
But the issue was very clearly not the Switch, because other games were like running very well on the Switch. They were clearly optimized to run on that platform. And yet Pokemon, which is an IP that runs only on Nintendo hardware, minus a couple mobile games here and there, is running so poorly on the current gen Nintendo console, that it's just like, how did this ever make it out into the market? Much in the same way that like Fallout 76 and Redfall with Bethesda did, right? Yeah. Then I think another couple of companies that are really kind of getting in their way, EA will always be at the top of the list. EA refuses to be a company that gives a fuck about anything other than profit. I think it won an award for like one of the worst companies to work for a couple years
ago. I have heard that. I'm glad you brought that up again, because for a while it seemed like, I think I was mainly annoyed because they bought Pandemic Games, and it was one of those where I'm like, yeah, but Pandemic was fine.
Yeah, I just, EA is always a fucking trash heap. There's a whole rabbit hole that we could go down, actually literal rabbit hole, that we could go down with the American McGee's Alice deal that was just going on a few months ago.
Oh dear,
I'm not gonna do that right now.
Okay. I'll look it up.
Ubisoft I think rides a very fine line when it comes to actually being a good publisher rather than just being an entire shit can.
Oh yeah.
I want them to stop making Assassin's Creed games. I need them to stop making Assassin's Creed games. That IP has been beaten to death, then resurrected, then beaten to death again. I'm so tired of it. I don't think I've seen anybody like incredibly genuinely excited for that series since Black Flag, which was the fourth entry in the series, from what I remember. I wish they would do something proper with Prince of Persia. They are doing something, a little side-scroller thing. I know there's a remake of Sands of Time in the works, but, like, there hasn't been news on that in forever and a fucking half. I have a Splinter Cell game in my Steam library that I cannot play because of its compatibility with the Uplay launch software that Ubisoft had, because once upon a time everybody needed to have their own like launch software / store to try to compete with Steam, and then they all failed. But because Uplay is essentially dead, I can't play my game on Steam. I've looked for a fix. There doesn't seem to be one. And that's one of my biggest complaints with Ubisoft right now.
Mm-hmm.
What other company? I will say, Capcom makes mistakes here and there. but they tend to like learn from them and move on. They've tried a number of times to do a Resident Evil multiplayer type deal. I don't know that they've ever legitimately succeeded, but they did release like a sort of companion multiplayer thing along with Resident Evil 8. It was so fucking bad. Oh, it was absolutely bad. It was free, and that was too much.
And it never stops happening either, it seems like.
They just have never gotten the formula right, which sucks, because multiplayer Resident Evil would be so good. So good. But it's apparently very hard to get the formula right, and I don't have the answer for them. I'm not going to pretend that I do. I do want them to keep trying. I just want them to like really try to invest properly into something. But I think they've really been knocking it out of the park with the Resident Evil remakes. Monster Hunter's been good from what I understand. I've never been into that series.
The movie was awful, but I'm sure the game is fun.
I'm again calling on Capcom to remake Dead Rising. You're already remaking zombie games. Dead Rising is literally sitting in your lap. Please. Other than that, I will give a shout out to my favorite indie studio, Supergiant Games, who I've played 3 out of the 4 games they've released, which is Bastion, Transistor. I didn't play Pyre. I played Hades, and I'm very excited for Hades 2. Everything I've ever played by them has been a just absolute blast.
That's good.
Fantastic. They literally can do no wrong. If there's anybody out there looking for like a cool indie studio to invest some like time into, some pick up some games from, Supergiant Games. Supergiant Games is so good. But yeah, I think that's about all I can.
Oh no, you've summed up some highlights there, and I do applaud you for also just kind of reminding everybody, hey, you know, that this didn't happen overnight.
Oh yeah, I mean, nothing ever does. Rome was not built in a day.
Yeah.
And neither was the current state of gaming. Like, it was numerous small decisions here and there that shaped how things currently are. And that's what I think people have to be mindful of going forward, is that, yes, this thing over here may seem like an insignificant thing, but if you leave it unchecked, it can turn into loot boxes, you know? So I think the lesson I want people to take away is, don't be afraid to explore. AAA isn't everything.
Right?
AAA is not everything. If a game is bad, call it what it is. And I will say this, if you enjoy a bad game, you're welcome to enjoy a bad game. But you also need to admit that it's a bad game. And that's fine. You can, like, it's like how people enjoy bad horror movies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Thanksgiving is a heap of shit. But it is fun to watch because it's a heap of shit. It's like watching Shane in The Shield. Shane is a literal manifestation of a dumpster fire. But man, is he just, like, you never know what stupid thing he's gonna do next, and it keeps you watching.
Can't take your eyes off it, you know. It's just like, here we are.
Yeah, but AAA isn't everything. Enjoy what you enjoy, but don't be afraid to criticize it for what it is.
And don't really become like gambling, where it's just, you know, because that's what I really have hated the most with EA, is seeing so many of these guys just milk it, where you want to win, you got to buy all these characters with actual money. It's like, why not just a monthly subscription? That would make way better sense, as opposed to I pay 10 to 500. And I get why they do it. A sucker is born every day, so they're gonna keep doing that shit. And I'm like, that should be legal. Do you have any idea how many morons are playing that and killing their college education or future rent? Just like gambling, don't invite all, you know, because you end up having to involve more time just, you know, asking people for down payments, and just, I wouldn't be able to sleep with myself knowing that I'd wrecked a bunch of people's lives.
And then I think the last thing was just, again, be mindful of the changes that are going on.
Yeah, I'll look at all these articles instead of just being like, oh, I haven't heard of that. I'm like, oh, it's a thing.
Yeah.
And be able to tell the difference between a corporate piece versus legit thing.
I mean, sure. I mean, it's not going to be an easy thing. I think the better thing to do is just acknowledge what a good idea is and what a popular idea is. And really be able to call out the difference between, because what's popular may not always be good, and what's good may not always be popular.
I love that. I wish more people could do reverse psychology.
Yeah. But yeah, with that, I think I'm...
Oh, this was so much fun, dude. Anything you'd care to promote that you're working on, or anything else you'd recommend?
I have something in the works, but I don't really know what it's... I know I'm going to be having something related to video games, likely in the podcast space in the future.
Yeah, I have no idea how much fun this was.
I was happy to be on. Thank you for having me. I don't know when that's going to happen. I know that it will happen. It's just a matter of getting some things together. So for those of you who are listening from maybe the Shield or the Shattered Shield rather, and miss me from that, I will be back around. I promise. I'm just trying to get some things in my life together.
Transitions. Hey, aren't we all, man? Conquered insomnia earlier this year by working in more fitness, different prescriptions, and different just everything. Do the same thing every day. But one thing I know are these True Dark sunglasses, which are great. So if you're watching a movie or playing a video game late at night, just put those on, especially if you got a confusing work schedule, so you don't have to try telling your brain, hey, sleep now, you know.
Yeah,
wake up now. And if there's anything to be gleaned from gaming, just decide how much of it you really want to do instead of just soullessly buying this and then not playing any of it. You know, just same thing with movies. Don't just look at the cover and go, that looks fucking cool, and then it takes up space on your shelf and you're trying to move.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Real. And I mean, I guess to close this out, I mean, two things you got to do just to encourage just a more positive gaming community.
Yeah.
I'll come up with one and you come up with the other. Ask yourself who is really, truly your friend and who is just someone who you're talking to who's wasting your time.
I would say just let people play what they want to play.
There you go.
Like, don't.
Gloves off.
Don't don't gatekeep gaming. Shit, no gate. The shit is for everyone.
Even the bad shit. But
Yeah. So.
Okay, wonderful, man. Wonderful. And I'll keep you posted when I post this bitch. And I'm surprised when we were saying, hey, we're going to get rowdy, and then we didn't really get too rowdy, but that's fine.
Oh, yeah. So... sometimes I take a more comedic approach to things, but like
we got this, deep.
I guess. Yeah, I got a little like more deep into the conversation.
Which is fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's like there's no gatekeeping on this, no gatekeeping on a conversation.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.